Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That is, as most of us know, the praises to Allah, the praises to Allah, the God and Evolver, Cherisher, and Sustainer of all of the worlds and of all of the knowledge bases. Praise be to Allah. When you hear me say Allah is the Lord of all the knowledge bases, and you have some contact with Imam Waqidi Muhammad, then you know that Imam Waqidi Muhammad translated Alameen as the knowledge basis. And we know he did that because of the fact that the word Alameen comes from Alima, which means to know, to have knowledge. And so it's very wonderful for us to know that one of us, one of the African Americans, can add something to the English translation of this wonderful, glorious Quran that has been revealed for the whole of humanity, not just to the Arab, not just to the Indo-Pakistani, but to all of the people that will ever live since its revelation to Muhammad in that cave Hira back over 1,450 years ago. Praise be to Allah. So I would like to begin by reciting one of the very beautiful ayahs of the Quran that I recently found from reading the Arabic text. You know, many times we read the Quran as English speakers, we read the left side because that's what we're more familiar with. And I do know something about Arabic, and I have taken the time to read some of the Quran in Arabic, but not all of it. So a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I looked at the word faradal, faradal. And faradal means to be obligated. And it comes, the same word that we have for fard, meaning obligatory, comes from the verbal root faradal, that is fa, ra, and the letter dawd, dawd, real strong D, dawd. In fact, it's said that Prophet Muhammad told the people that he was the one of the ones who was most eloquent in the language of the Dawd. They call it the Arabic language, Lughat al-Dawd, the language of the Dawd. So this ayah says, "Inna alladhi faradal, pardon me, farada alayka al-Qur'ana wa radduka ila ma'adin kul rabbi a'lamu." Man jaa bil huda wa man huwa fi dalalim mubin. That is, surely, just a moment, get the translation for you here. This is in Surah 28, verse 85. It says, surely it is he who has ordained, he is obligated on you, the Quran, and he will bring you back to a place of return. And Allah commands the Prophet to say, my Lord knoweth best who it is that brings true guidance and who it is in dalal mubin, manifest error. So I mention this ayah to you to let you know that the English Quran is not obligated upon you, but the Arabic Quran is obligated upon us. So that means that you and I, all of us, should be students of the Arabic Quran. And no one here could say that you don't have the brain capacity or the intelligence to understand this Arabic language. It's just a matter of you making the commitment to learn. And if you do so, a whole new world of spiritual understanding will be opened up to you. I believe I'm a witness to that. A brother taught me for 9 months, and I continued to study from that time. And I can say, as I stand here today, that the world of the Quran in the language that is revealed in is so much different from reading the English translations or translations in any language. And the reason why is because the Arabic language is so rich in its expression and its power to affect the soul, power to cause you to respond to it and increase your taqwa. So I tell people all of the time of late, that the reason why, the main reason why you and I want to learn the Arabic Quran is so that we can increase our devotion to God, so that we can go to Jannah, to go to paradise. We want to be able to leave this world after we did our material, you know, conquests and all of the things that we did in this life. We want to be able to come out of this life and go to the Jannah, to the paradise, inshallah. So we know that U.S. government has decreed this coming Sunday, Mother's Day. And anyone that is really thinking, we know that every day is Mother's Day, and we know that we should honor our mothers, honor our fathers, honor our children, honor each and every one of us as human beings that Allah has created for this this wonderful world that we have to live in and grow in and enjoy. Praise be to Allah. So there was a time during the history of the Prophet, it's reported in the history, that one of the women came and said, why all of the time the Quran always speaking in masculine terms, he this and he that, you know? And so shortly after this question was asked to the Prophet, Allah gave him an ayah, and the ayah is, it goes like this. Inna al-muslimina wa muslimati wa mukminina wa mukminati wa qanitina wa qanitati wa sadiqina wa sadiqati wa sabiruna wa sabirati wa qashiuna wa qashiati wa mutasaddiqina wa mutasaddiqati wa sa'imina wa sa'imati wa hafidhina furujahum wal hafidhati wa dhakarina wa dhakirati a'addallahu lahum maghfiratan maghfiratallaha kathiran wa ajran azim. Translated, this is Surah 33, verse 35. So surely for all men and women who have surrendered themselves unto Allah, and all believing men and believing women, and all devout men and devout women, and all men and women who are truthful, and all men and women who are patient and persevering, and all men and women who humble themselves before Allah, and all men and women who are active in good deeds, and all men and women who fast and deny themselves, and all men and women who guard their chastity, their morals, their virtues, and all men and women who remember Allah much, Allah has prepared for them a ajran azim, a magnificent reward. So many times we leave the thinking process of the real, you know, scientific, you know, exploration and whatnot to the man. And many times the women relegate themselves to submission to the men, and they don't get off into the sciences and whatnot like the men do, right? And that's not a good thing. In fact, we see some changes, some evidence of the women becoming scientists and astronauts and things like that. But Allah is clearly saying that the woman has the same mental capacity that the man has, because he says, wadakirati, the thinking men and thinking women, wadaki, what's the other one? Wadakarina. The Dhakarina is the group of males that think, and the Dhakirati is the group of women that think, you know? And so the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to liberate the women and all of the people. And you must admit, and we must admit from examining what is happening here, that some of the Muslims have tried to oppress the women and subjugate them to their whim, to their will. And as Muslims, we don't want that. We want the woman to be out front, more so than she ever has been in the history of the human being. Just recently they had an election in Egypt, and one of the candidates was a female, and she said she got more hell from the women trying to discourage her from being a, you know, candidate than she did from the men. So here it is, the women have taken on the man of subjugation and whatnot, where they actually thought that this female running for the president of Egypt was wrong morally and everything else. Mm-hmm. She said that they was pounding her on her back, punching her and stuff like this, you know. So I encourage the women, as I encourage the men, to be scholars in Islam, to be out there speaking to the people as much as you can, as much as you can. Praise be to Allah. So we know that in the Quran, the great mother of Jesus, Mary, Maryam, she is reported to be one of the qanitin, that is one of the devoted ones. And Allah didn't say, well, she was just one woman that was devoted. He's putting her right in there with the devoted men. She was one of the qanitin, one of the ones who made ruku, or made raka. She bowed down. She made rakas with those who made rakas, or did ruku, made ruku, you see. So we see Maryam as a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful model. And there's a beautiful story in the Quran about her mother, who a lot of us don't recognize that much because her name is not mentioned in the Quran. But the mother of Maryam, her name was Mary. Pardon me, her name was Hannah. Her name was Hannah. And we get that from other sources than the Quran. But Hanan, we know in Arabic, means happy and jubilant. So in this story of Imran, the surah Imran, in fact, it talks about how the woman of Imran said, "Oh my Lord, I do dedicate unto you what is in my womb for thy special service. So accept this of me, for you heareth and knoweth all things." So obviously this lady Hannah was making dua. "Oh Allah, I got a baby in my stomach. And I want you to bless this baby to be of special service to you," you know. And so beautifully, the word that Allah uses here in the Quran that they translate as special service is muharran. Muharran. Sound real strong. Muharran, you know. And it comes from the root harra. And harra means to be passionate for freedom and expiration. So she wanted a son, really, that would be free to worship God, and he was real passionate about it. He was just completely immersed in worshiping Allah and being free in the dispensation, the dawah effort, with the word of God. This is what she prayed for. And you know, the word huriya is freedom in Arabic. Freedom. I recall a brother coming back from Libya, and he was singing the Libyan fight song. It was Jamhari, Jamhariya, Jamhari, Jamhuriya, 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 which is, you know, the republic, the freedom, the free republic that we have here, you know. So she was praying for a son, and Allah calls this child coming out to be Maryam, right? And the story continues where it says, "Nevertheless, I have named her Maryam, and I commend her and her offspring to your protection from the evil one, the rejected, min ash-shaytani rajim." But before she told Allah that she commended, you know, this daughter, pardon me, to his protection, she decreed, and we know it to be true, that in no way is the male exactly like the female, right? They say women are from Venus and men are from Mars. That's one of the books they have out there, you know. That's true in some degrees, and in some degrees we are exactly alike because we have the same thinking apparatus. We say dhakara wa untha, the thinker and the untha. The untha is the one who has real keen intuition. You know, women do have that. Well, we have it too, though, right? Mm-hmm. But that's one of the characteristics they give to the feminine characteristic. And the idea really is that the feminine is really associated with compassion and love. So men have the same thing. We have compassion and love. Mm-hmm. But the women, it seems to be more accentuated, if you will. In other words, how many in the history of humanity have you seen where you had a woman serial killer? How many have you known of? How many women have you known to be the ruler of a nation and they go off and bomb this place and kill thousands and millions like Stalin and Lenin and some of these other men have done? It doesn't happen a whole lot. So So Allah has oriented, praise be to Allah, the female to have more open compassion and have the ability to have this compassion and it spreads out in a universal way. You all see it all the time, you know, little baby be in front of a woman, you see all the women smiling. What are these women smiling about? And the first thing you feel, oh, they're smiling because the little baby is there, the little child is there, you know. But you'll see men do the same thing, but not as openly as you see the women in their compassion for children of the world. Praise be to Allah. So Maryam was the substitute in Hannah's mind for a man who was Muharran, who was out there in the marketplace, you know, doing da'wah and increasing the knowledge of God and the word of God. So I looked this word up, Maryam, and surprisingly, the word Maryam means one who has the ability to engage in spiritual and intellectual discourse with men. That's what Maryam means. She knows how to deal from the spiritual side. She got the intellect, and at the same time, she's chaste. She's virtuous. She's that type that we have in our community even today, where you can have a woman in the midst of 50 men, and the men, they like her mind and her intellect more than they like her beauty. You see? And that's what we as human beings have to get to. Look at the inside of the person, the character of the person, the nobility of the person, the honor of the person. And Allah commands us in the Quran. Attaqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. Oh, you who believe, have reverence for God. Wa kunu, and be with those who have truthfulness and honor and integrity. And so as Muslims, I say to you without a doubt, more than ever before, we must grab on to the good, virtuous people. And those people who want to cause fitna and problems and whatnot, disassociate and hold tighter to those who want to do the right thing, you know? And I'm 60 years old. My wife said, don't be telling people how old you are. I'm not expected to make a 180 and then become other than what I am. And I don't expect another person that's 60 years old, for the most part, to be a scoundrel for 60 years and all of a sudden say, okay, I went on the road to Damascus and now I'm going to be an angel, you know? It just don't happen because human beings are creatures of habit. And I'm saying that from the standpoint that I want to see, and I'm sure those in my age bracket, and even younger, want to see great progress in the ummah. I'm talking about building edifices and having schools and having so much of an impact on this world that they won't be able to call Muslims terrorists. You have the people fighting in our defense, and they're Muslims, not terrorists. Those are good people. Leave those people alone, you know. This is what we want to get Islam to here in America, and we can do it by holding tight to each other and moving forth what Allah has revealed to us in this wonderful book, the glorious Quran. So remember, the woman is a thinker just like the man is a thinker. So if you are that, should not you be a student of the Quran too, women? Shouldn't you be able to have the mic to speak on Islam? Like right now, I'm speaking on Blog Talk Radio right now. I got my phone here. I called the number, and I'm on the Internet. People all over the world can hear me right now on the Internet. And this particular station that I'm on right now, it's very important for me to talk to you about this. You know, this is the Jumu'ah, but it's also da'wah time too, right? $40 a month, you can speak 2 hours on Blog Talk Radio. For $40 a month. You give the people the call-in number. They can call and listen to it on the phone. Or you just give them the website number or the website address. And they can just go to their computer and go to your station and listen. And after this is completed, it's in the archives where anyone can go and listen to what I'm talking about right now. All right? So I have another station that's separate from this station, and myself and some other brothers, we pay for this station here jointly, where I can talk 30 minutes every day if I want to as long as I don't speak between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. for a half an hour. Any day or any time I decide I want to, you know, do a talk. So you can get your own station. Everyone in here can have their own station where you get up in the morning and you say, I want to talk to the sisters of the world about putting some clothes on their back. Or I want to talk to the brothers in the world about being more responsible financially and pooling their resources together. You just call the phone number and you talk. So you say, well, I'm not used to talking. Well, I wasn't used to talking either until I started talking years ago, you know. But the more and more you do it, the more and more you will see that Allah will use you as a vessel to give his word out to the human family. So if you are in the internet, you know, situation and you want to get your own station, just go to blogtalkradio.com and register your own station for a half hour a day free. Okay, so much for that. Praise be to Allah. So in continuing, I want to make a comment about something that Imam Muhammad said. And he said it at the 12/17/2000 Ramadan session. And he said, speaking to the imams and those who were there, so now we are obligated, especially you all who are helping the community as leaders. You are imams, you are teachers in our schools, you are obligated to study Arabic grammar so that you will learn to read and speak Arabic. Now notice he said the imams and the teachers especially, but he's not saying that the people who aren't imams shouldn't study the Arabic Quran. He's saying all of us. In fact, you know, they got the group, the Taliban, right? To most Americans that aren't knowledgeable, they think the Taliban is a bad, bad word. A bunch of terrorists and extremists, and many of them are. But the word itself, Taliban, it means a student forever. Taliban means a student forever. Of what? A student of the Quran. Talib is student. So that the fatatain, the ansan on the end of it, means that you are a student nonstop. That's what we as Muslims, male and female, should be. Students of the Quran, nonstop. We have the word mujahidun, coming from jahada. Jahada means to struggle and to exert effort, right? Mujahiduna is a plural, meaning a group, three or more. Mujahideen means a group, three or more. But the Mujahideen is the name that they took when they were fighting against the Russians, when they were fighting against the Americans, as they are doing now. They call themselves Mujahideen, meaning they are freedom fighters forever against takeover, against oppression. Right? And shouldn't that be what all of us should be about? Being in a state of never being in servitude to anything but Allah. Abdullah, the servant of Allah. You know? So never again would African American, you know, submit to servitude to the Caucasian, you know, power structure here. We would die first. That's right. Right? That's right? The Jews say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Never again, never again. But at the same time as I speak, many of us have allowed ourselves to be subjugated to imams and muftis and different people, instead of realizing that the same knowledge that you have, mufti, the same knowledge you have, imam, I can get it too. You are not my commanding officer. Allah is my commanding officer. If you get up here, imam, and make a mistake, I'm going to say subhanallah and correct you, right? So the spirit of knowledge and whatnot should be understood to be something that all of us should possess, not just the imam. Some say, well, that's just for the imams to study. No, the Quran is for all of us to study. So continuing here, it says, you are obligated to do that. The Quran, our book, it's in Arabic. You are obligated to study Arabic grammar, Arabic language, so you can learn to read and speak, and hopefully speak because the meanings are conveyed perfectly in the Arabic language, but not perfectly in any other language. Allah didn't reveal it in English. He revealed it in Arabic, and in the best Arabic, Al-Arabiyya Fusha. the best Arabic, the most eloquent Arabic. So you are obligated, brothers and sisters, especially you who want to accept responsibility, to guide this community and to help this community build itself up better and better until it is pleasing to us in our souls and in our hearts. You are obligated to study Arabic grammar. Okay, that's the words of Imam Waqi Muhammad, encouraging us to be students of the Arabic grammar. And as I indicated, if you understand the Arabic grammar, you'll understand the Quran better, and you'll be able to respond to it better as well. Praise be to Allah. Just a basic thing, I don't want to make this an Arabic class, but if I say to you, La ilahun illallah, I'm saying there's no deity but Allah. La ilahun. Okay? It means no deity but Allah. But Allah, he changed the grammatical structure and we say it, La ilaha, right? Illallah. Like a hatchet. Ha! Cutting off the existence of that deity other than him. So if I just say to you real smoothly, La ilahun illallah, it don't really ring in your mind. But if I say, La ilaha, forcing you to stop, then you say, illallah, except the one and only, then it registers better. So Allah manipulates sound in the Quran and in the book also. That's very important for you to understand. That Allah is a manipulator of sound and a manipulator of the grammar that the language was set up and structured on. That's very important to know. Praise be to Allah. So I had titled this lecture when I put it on Blog Talk Radio, the marriage between Muhammad and Maryam. We know they didn't get married, right? But they were in different time periods, right? But cannot you and I see the beauty of us emulating the model of Muhammad and the women emulating the model of Muhammad to the extent that they can, right? And the men emulating the model of Maryam in terms of her purity and her virtuousness, and the women emulating the model of Maryam as well. That would be a wonderful, wonderful marriage, wouldn't it? Praise be to Allah. So we know Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. This is translated, no doubt, I'm translating it, belonging to you all in the Messenger of Allah, an excellent model to any whose hope is in Allah and the final day and who engages much in the praise and remembrance of Allah. This is 33:21 of the Quran. So the word uswatun hasana, I don't know if I mentioned this in this particular masjid before, but uswatun hasana, it translates excellent model, excellent exemplar, different things like that, right? Excellent model of conduct. And so I said, I want to know more. What else does it mean? Does it just mean that? Can I just confine the meaning of uswatun hasana to just those words in English language? If I did that, I wouldn't see the whole scope of what Allah is telling us when he says that Prophet Muhammad was an uswatun hasana. So I looked up the word uswatun. In fact, I got the impetus to do so from listening to a khutbah by Brother Imam Salim Mukman. He did a khutbah one time in Oak Park, Michigan. And he was telling the audience, he said, uswa means to be hurt. It means to grieve. I said to myself, what is he talking about? You know, I had never registered that before, you know. So I went to my lexicon and my dictionary, and I looked up the root of it. And the root of uswatun, follow me now, is asad, aleph, seen in what we call aleph maksura, asad. Originally it was asawa, but to smooth it out and make it real smooth to the ear and for ease in pronunciation, they say asad. So asad, if you look it up in any dictionary, it means to grieve, it means to be hurt, persecuted, it means to heal a wound. You know, like you got a sore on your body and you heal it and it gets well. It means that too. And it also means to reconcile things back together. And all of that is Prophet Muhammad's life in a nutshell. How so? He grieved, right? His father was dead when he come out of the womb of Amina. That was Prophet Muhammad's mother's name, Amina. His father was dead, Abdullah. He was dead. Wasn't even there. How many of us come out of the womb of our mothers and our father is dead? Doesn't happen a lot. Doesn't happen a lot, right? Excuse me. Doesn't happen a lot. His mother died when he was very young. Then he was taken into the care of his grandfather, and his grandfather died when he was very young, right? We know that after his grandfather died, he was put into care of his uncle, Abu Talib, right? And Abu Talib, he died right around the time when the Meccans said, we're going to have to kill this man. He's been talking all of this stuff about our gods don't exist. We're going to have to kill him. So they figure, since Abu Talib is gone, you know, we can go get him. Right? Because, you know, he was the chief of the tribe. Right? But we know Allah preserved him from that demise. He was in the cave, and they came right there to the cave and didn't know that Prophet Muhammad Abu Bakr was there. Right? That's part of the history. His wife, Khadija, they say that she died because of the boycott, malnutrition. This is the suspicion that she died from malnutrition because the Meccans was trying to squeeze the Muslims out from getting food and trading and things like this. What a tragedy for the Prophet. Grief after grief after grief, right? He went to the village of Taif. Now, if you all don't know this history that I'm giving you, shame on you, because you should know this history. It's wonderful for you to read a history of the Prophet Muhammad, what he went through, what his life was about. Okay? Most of you know this is old hat that I'm giving you. But some of us don't know this. So how can you be inspired to live your religion and emulate the example of the Prophet Muhammad if you don't know the basics of the history and what he did, what Allah blessed him to overcome and endure? All right. So when he went to Taif, the boys and girls of the town were incited by the elders to throw rocks at him. And they say in the history that as he was leaving the town of Taif, beautiful town, had flowers, agricultural type of setting. They said he had blood in his sandals coming out of there. He didn't fight them. He just went on out of there, right? He took the hurt, right? He took the pain, you see? So that's what it means, right? To take pain, and he just healed himself up. He kept his original nature in spite of what they were doing to him. He accepted this persecution because he had faith in Allah. Allah is going to change this situation. You know, whenever he wills and whenever he pleases. So, we know that Prophet Muhammad, he united the tribes. He married a woman from this tribe, a woman from that tribe. And he was able to reconcile the Arabs who were in a state of jahiliyyah, killing each other, you know. If you read any of the history about the Arabian Desert, they had a hookup where, say, for example, you're in one tribe. And you got an opposing tribe, and y'all might have been fighting for two centuries. These two tribes, they just don't get along, right? And so if you get out there and a water hole is near where that opposing tribe is, they will not let you get to the water hole. So you would die. This is just how divided the Arabs were. And Prophet Muhammad brought them together. Praise be to Allah. So cannot you see why he's our model? Because he kept his original good nature no matter what happened. And so it's a model and a lesson for us when we have our little problems here and there and we get this misfortune, that misfortune. Know that the messenger of Allah, he went through greater trials than most of us will ever go through. Praise be to Allah. And Allah speaks of him in the Quran. He says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى قُلُوكٍ عَذِيمٍ. And surely you are an exalted character, magnificent. So how am I translating it like that? Inneka, I mean, surely you, like real strong. Surely you, inneka. Then he puts la in front of the preposition ala. La'ala. You are exalted, very high. He could have just said ala. You know, Allah could have just said ala. He said la'ala. And then he says Huluk and creation, Adim, magnificent. In fact, some of the scholars translate this Huluk and Adim as the crown of the creation. In fact, I've heard it said, and I believe it too, out of all of the human beings that Allah has created, He was gradually evolving the humanity for Muhammad to be the excellent model for all times, forevermore. And we know Allah says, "Laqad kana," that means no doubt He was. No doubt He was. This is the perfect tense. Kana means He was. So that means that if it happens that all human beings are destroyed down the road in time, still, Muhammad was the most excellent model. And it's so beautiful when you read in the Quran, in the Surah Najm, it says that he came within two bow lengths of Allah. Two bow lengths. He was that close. Well, we know he would never be Allah, but he was within two bow lengths. Allah is just letting you and I know just how close of an approach and spiritual affinity that Muhammad had with him. Praise be to Allah. But you know, it's so beautiful that this closeness that Prophet Muhammad experienced, we feel some semblance of closeness to Allah and the presence of Allah in things that we do at various times. The presence of Allah be so strong, we say, we know Allah is right here with us, you know. I can remember a time that I was in a hurry to do a khutbah, and I didn't have the verse set off in the Quran. So I said, while I'm driving, I'm going to have to hook up this verse. So I reached for the Quran that was on the seat, and my fingers opened up to the verse that I was looking for. To me, I say to people all the time, that was enough for me where I would believe in Allah for all times because of just that one incident right there. But there are others, and I'm sure you've experienced that. So we know that this God, although He is not a physical being, His presence is with us, and He's closer to us in our own jugular vein. If we only but knew and we reach out to Him more and receive Him into our being, inshallah, inshallah. Tumi medua, rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve or deviate after You've guided us aright, but bestow upon us mercy from Your presence. For surely You are the grandest of the givers. Ameen. Allahumma nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka ونثني عليك القيا ونشكرك ولا نكرك. Oh Allah, we seek Your help. We ask for Your forgiveness. We believe in You. We trust in You. And we extol, that is, lift You up and exalt You in the best manner. And we are thankful to You, Allah, and we are not of the ungrateful. This word, uswa, it's in the Quran three times. Uswatun. And it's very interesting to know that Muhammad himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called Abraham his father. He said that I follow the millah, or the way, of Ibrahim. And we know that Ibrahim is the father of monotheism, according to our, you know, history that has unfolded. And we know that he did not join gods with God. He was not of the mushrikeen. He was not of those who joined partners with God. And speaking of shirk, isn't this something that when you think about the English language, if I say to you, don't shirk your responsibility, it means don't neglect your responsibility, right? So here the word shirk in Arabic is dealing with the greatest responsibility that we should have, and that is to worship our God and not join any partners with Him. And we know that Allah says that shirk is the highest of wrongdoing. And also it says that those who write scripture with their own hands and then say it came from Allah, that's a very, very serious charge as well. So Uswa, in the Surah 60, verse 4, it says, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي الْإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ izkalu li kaumihim inna bura'u minkum wa mimma ta'buduna min dunillahi. That is, there is for you, Allah says, an excellent example to follow in Ibrahim and those with him. When they said to their people, we are clear of you and whatever you worship besides Allah. So this word Muhammad, I studied it, you know. I learned a little Arabic in college, at Wayne County Community College. And there are 60 word patterns, for the most part, 61 word patterns in Arabic. And if you learn these 61 word patterns, you'll be able to understand the Quran better, because each form of the verb gives a different kind of meaning. And this is not real rocket science or nothing like that. I see doctors out here and everything, so I know you all can grasp this. So to give you a quick example, if I say to you, Katala, that means he killed. Straight up, just a quick kill. Katala, he killed. Straight to the point. It's called declarative. Right to the point. Kalakala insana min Allah. Right to the point. He created the human being from a clot. You know, straight up. But then if I say to you, Katala, still using the Q, the T, and the L, now it means he massacred them. He killed them by shooting them 10 times or something like that. Katala. You hear the emphasis on it, right? You can tell that must be some strong stuff that was going on, right? Katala. You can hear the word cut in there, too, a little bit. Katala. All right? Okay. Real intense. They translate, if you look in the dictionaries, as being he massacred them. Or he annihilated them, you know. Use a stronger word to just kill, you know. He said he annihilated them, you know. He overkilled, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you go to the third form. Katala. Some time involved, right? Katala. See how long it takes for me to say that? Katala. That means now that he was fighting. You ain't gonna just come up and kill me. You're gonna have to fight me, you know. So it takes a little time, you see? This is the logic of the language. Praise be to Allah. So Muhammad is what we call in English grammar a passive participle. Passive participle. Passive means no movement, right? Suggesting. Or this thing is being acted upon as opposed to being acting on something else. So Muhammad is a passive participle, meaning that this man, Muhammad, was so noble and so righteous and so virtuous and kind and all of those good virtues that the act of high commendation by others came upon him. They spoke of Muhammad. Look at this man. He's a great man. Leave your clothes and leave your goods with him when you go out of town. Right? This honor came upon him. He didn't solicit those people and say, well, you know, y'all can trust me, so give me your goods. He didn't have to do it. The people told the people about him, you see. So Muhammad means that being that high commendation and emulation and approval that came upon him. Just by knowing that this is what we call the second form, passive participle, I'm getting all of what I'm telling you right now. He was not actively saying, praise me, follow me, until the revelation came, of course, but he had an obligation because Allah had empowered him to do that. So if you understand Muhammad to be that entity that was worthy of high commendation and emulation and all of that, then you know that if people understand what I just told you, they will never worship Muhammad after we're dead and gone, thousands of years from now. If you understand that one grammatical point, that he was not one who told them to worship him and praise him and exalt him, then they would never lift him up like we have done in the Christian world to lift up Jesus as being the Son of God. Mm-hmm. It won't happen just by virtue of Imam Muhammad, by Muhammad's name being what it is. Worthy to be emulated, but not just worthy to be emulated in a real soft sense, but in a very intense way. Intensely, over and over and over and over again. I hope you understand the logic of what I'm saying there. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, the prayers and the peace and the blessings be upon him forever and ever. So in coming to the conclusion, I might have shared this with this audience before, but I'm sure everybody wasn't here when I was here before those other times. In the Quran, in chapter 3, verse 154, this particular ayah or verse has all of the Arabic letters in it. You hear me? All of the 28 Arabic letters are in this verse 3154. And that's wonderful, you know. And I could be untrue and say, well, I found it myself, but that's not me. The way I found this out was there was a great Turkish freedom fighter and leader. His name was Nursi, N-U-R-S-I. I believe that's how you spell his name. First name start with a B. Anyway, he wrote a book called The Word. The Word, this is the name of the book. Very spiritual stuff that he talks about in the book. So I bought the book. I really wasn't intending on buying the book. A brother just presented it to me. I looked at it, and I looked at the pages. I said, I don't know if I really want to, you know, take my time reading it because it looked like it was real, you know, mystical, you know, things, you know, in it. But Allah had me to buy it, and so I bought it. And so I read this portion of it, and it says that one of the miracles of the Quran is the fact that all of the Arabic alphabet is in the one verse. So me being a person that wanted to share this with the world, I was at a meeting sometime maybe about 20 years ago, and I was telling one of the brothers about this verse. And he said, oh, there's another verse too. I said, yeah, you know, where is it? So just by me opening my mouth trying to share, I get another one. Praise be to Allah, you know. And so it is Surah 48, verse 29. Beautiful ayah. I love it. I think you will too. Or have already. It says, Muhammadur Rasulullah wa ladina ma'ahu ashida'u alal kufari ruhama'u bainahum tarahum ruqa'an sujada yabtaguna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwanan سماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شتأه فزرعه فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراء ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وَأَجْرًا عَذِيمٌ. And it says, Muhammad. There's only four ayahs in the whole Quran where the word Muhammad is mentioned. How do I know that? Because I have a concordance. See, I'm not, you know, giving you something that you can't get yourself, you know. This is concordance of the Quran. So I look up the root of Muhammad, H-M-N-D, and you see clearly that it says Muhammad is in there four times. And this is one of the times that it's in there. They translate, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are strong against unbelievers. I repeat, those who are with Muhammad are strong against disbelievers and those who are ungrateful also. But they are ruhama'u. They are compassionate and loving to the believers. We need to follow that more. Be more compassionate and loving to the believers. It's okay for a man to be soft. Say, brother, I love you, man. It's all right, you know. In fact, most of you know that a lot of the people from the Middle East and other places, they walk down the street, men holding hands. They don't think they're gay or homosexual or nothing for holding another man's hand, you know. They do that, you know. In fact, it was very funny. Bilal the poet and this brother named Rauf, they were holding hands in the in Akron one time when we were together. But I introduced Bilal the poet to the brother. So we're going to close out in a moment here. Okay. But it was okay to be kind to your brother. But compassion amongst each other. So you will see them bow themselves, talking about the believers now, in prayer, seeking grace from Allah and His ridwan, His good pleasure. It says, on their faces, are their marks, being the traces of their prostration. You got a mark up there? This is a similitude in the Torah and in the gospel. They are like a seed which sends forth its blade, then makes it strong. It then becomes thick, and it stands on its own stem. Sulkihi, its own stem. That's what we as men want to be. Be responsible and stand on our own efforts and our own labor. Filling the sores with wonder and delight. As a result, it fills the unbelievers with rage at them. You know, people hate Muslims and progress that Muslims make. Allah is letting us know that. Allah has promised those among them who believe and do righteousness, forgiveness, and again, ajran adim. And I thank you for your attentiveness. I pray, Allah, that I didn't go too long. So let me make a quick dua here. Rabbana asmim lana nurana waqfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our Lord, complete our life for us. Forgive us, for surely you have power over all things at all times. Amen. Iqama.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
القارية ما القارية وما أدراك ما القارية يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كإحنا المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية الله أكبر الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم
Imam Sadiq Jihad Live, as you probably discerned from the khutbah that it was done 2 years ago around Mother's Day. But we know that the Quran is a book that is applicable for all times, and I pray a lot that you enjoyed the khutbah. And if you're interested in being a student of the glorious Quran, and if you are already a student of the glorious Quran, I would encourage you to secure my book entitled The Language of Revelation, Lughatut Tanzil in Arabic. And you can secure the book by going to my shopping cart, if you will, www.sadiqjihad.com. And you also can contact me by going to my email, and that email address is sidwdwe@msn.com. And again, the internet website is sadiqjihad.com. I thank you for listening. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. And I'd like to close with this beautiful phrase that I saw in the English grammar book. Wright's grammar is called WRIGHT'S grammar. And it says, La yazalu Allahu muhsinan ilayka. Again, la yazalu Allahu muhsinan ilaykum. That is to you all. Ilayka is to one person. Ilayki is to one female. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.